The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, hook 'em horns, motherfucker, hook 'em horns, hook 'em horns, hook 'em horns, motherfucker, hook 'em horns. Yeah, we are moving on in the bracket. I bet y'all thought that championship pick of mine was stupid as fuck, but guess what? They still in it, and there's a couple of number one seeds that ain't. But before we get into the bracket talk, I just wanted to let y'all know that in my fantasy hockey leagues, I'm in four of them. Three of the four leagues I'm in have just begun the playoffs, and I did make the playoffs in one of the three that started the playoffs already. So in my Stop the Madness League, I'm the number six seed. Team Knock 'Em Out, that's me, versus Chocolate LeClaire. So we'll see if I'm able to move on to the next round. Hopefully I'm crowned the champion after that, but it's a very difficult league, as most of the fantasy leagues I'm in are. But yeah, let's get, I know y'all cared about that, so let's get into bracket talk. How's everybody's bracket looking? How is your bracket looking? Mine is actually shockingly not too bad. I've got one big-ass period stain across the eastern portion of my bracket because Marquette went down. But other than that, overall, my bracket's looking pretty clean. Three of the four Final Four teams that I picked in my whack-ass, weirdo-ass bracket here are still in it. Half of my championship is still in it, and my national champion pick is still in it. I've actually picked 32 correct picks so far of the 63 in the bracket. So far, not too bad from me. If you want a refresher course, my final four I picked is San Diego State University, Texas, UCLA, and Marquette. And Marquette is the only one who was knocked out. My championship picks were Texas and Marquette, so obviously Marquette's done there. And then my championship pick is my Texas fucking Longhorns bitches, and they looked damn good in this tournament. They kicked ass in round one and then played a very close game against Penn State in round two, but damn, they ran away with it and are looking pretty damn solid right now. But so far, you know, like I said last week before the tournament started, I thought there was going to be some parity in this year's tournament, and so far, there's a lot of parity. Two number one seeds are already done for. That's why I didn't pick any number one seeds in my final four, because they weren't that convincing this year, and so I just kind of felt like we're going to get some random-ass national champion. And so far, that's par for the course. So let's see what happened in round two this weekend. Alabama played Maryland, and Alabama moved on to the Sweet 16. San Diego State played Furman and kicked the crap out of them, and now they've moved on to the Sweet 16. Creighton played Baylor, and Creighton got a big win against Baylor, and they are moving on to the Sweet 16. Then we had Missouri versus Princeton, and Princeton, you know, they are a number 15 seed, and they're also an Ivy League school. Usually the Ivy League schools don't really make any noise in the tournament. Well, guess what? Princeton is making some motherfucking noise. First, they took down Arizona, then they took down Missouri, and now they are going to the Sweet 16, and they will be playing Creighton in the next round. So that is the south side of the bracket there. Then let's move to the east side of the bracket. Round two, we had Fairleigh Dickinson versus Florida Atlantic. And Florida Atlantic moved on in that matchup. Then we had Duke versus Tennessee. Tennessee moved on in that matchup. Kentucky versus Kansas State. Kansas State, you know, they started off the game looking real bad. They couldn't knock down a three in the ocean. And that's just how bad they were playing yesterday. But then the second half started, And they just really started to turn it on against Kentucky. A damn good team, especially a damn good tournament team. And Kansas State got the win there. Then we had Michigan State versus Marquette. And Michigan State, they just held on to the win. They're yet another, they're one of those teams that always shows up tournament time and you never want to count them out. And they took it to Marquette yesterday too. It really wasn't even much of a game. It was a close game, but for the most part, man, Michigan State just, they just rocked them. Then moving to the Midwest side of the bracket, in the second round, we had Houston versus Auburn. Houston has moved on in that matchup. But Auburn made it a close matchup in the first half, but then the second half, Houston just took off, and they ran away with the win there. Then we had Miami versus Indiana, which was also a close game to start, but Miami ran away with that one, so they've moved on to the Sweet 16. Then Pittsburgh versus Xavier. Xavier has moved on to the Sweet 16. And then, like I said, Penn State versus Texas. Texas played a fucking fantastic game against Penn State, and they got the win, and they've moved on to the Sweet 16. Then the west side of the bracket in the second round, we had Kansas versus Arkansas, and Arkansas got the big upset win over the number one seeded Kansas Jayhawks. They are out of it, the two number one seeds, because I already went over the east side of the bracket, but I didn't discuss the matchup because it was in the first round when they lost. Or, I mean, yeah, the first round, they lost to Fairleigh Dickinson. It was Purdue. They lost in the first freaking round, and they were a number one ranked team all year, so it's pretty funny to see that happen. But, yeah, two number one seeds went down, and Kansas was one of them, as well as Purdue. So Arkansas moved on to the Sweet 16. Then we had St. Mary's versus UConn. UConn moved on to the Sweet 16. Then we had TCU versus Gonzaga. Ended up being a very close matchup, but Gonzaga got the win, and they've moved on to the Sweet 16. And then the last matchup on the west side of the bracket, Northwestern versus UCLA. UCLA went on to win that matchup and has moved on to the Sweet 16. So our Sweet 16 matchups we have coming up on Thursday and Friday. We have on the south side bracket, we have Alabama versus San Diego State. I actually picked both of those teams to move on to the Sweet 16, and my original pick is San Diego State, and I'm sticking with it. Then Creighton versus Princeton. I did not have either one of those teams on into the bracket. So between those two, I'm definitely going to take Creighton. Even though Princeton's the hot hand right now, at some point they're going to be stopped. And I feel like Creighton's going to go ahead and take care of that in the Sweet 16. Then moving to the east side of the bracket in the Sweet 16, we have Florida Atlantic versus Tennessee. Tennessee, I actually picked them to go to the Sweet 16, and I actually have them going on to the Elite 8. So, of course, I'm going to stick with that pick. Then Kansas State versus Michigan State. I did not pick either one of those teams because I had Marquette. And in this matchup, I'm probably going to go Michigan State, just because they're a good tournament team. Then over in the Midwest portion of the bracket in the Sweet 16, we've got Houston versus Miami. I picked both of those teams to move on to the Sweet 16, and I'm going to stick with my original pick of Miami upsetting Houston and moving on to the Elite 8. And then Xavier versus Texas. I actually picked both of those teams to move on to the Sweet 16. And, of course, I've got my Texas Longhorns moving on to the Elite 8. And then the west side of the bracket in the Sweet 16, we have Arkansas versus UConn. I did not pick either one of those teams in the Sweet 16. I had Kansas moving on. But between these two, I'm going to go UConn. UConn kind of seems to be back to where they once were historically, so I'm going to go UConn, even though Arkansas is playing some great basketball right now. And then the last Sweet 16 matchup is Gonzaga versus UCLA, which, if you are a college basketball fan who pays attention to the bracket, Gonzaga versus UCLA has always historically been a very good matchup between the two of them. I mean, they've played many times in the bracket, and so I expect this to be a good game. I did pick both of these teams to move on to the Sweet 16, and my pick to move on to the Elite 8 to begin with was UCLA, and of course, I'm sticking with UCLA to move on to that one. So we will see where we are at on Friday's show with the bracket update, but so far, my bracket isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be at first. Then moving on to UFC 286. Give it up to Leon Edwards. This dude, you know, this was part three of the matchup between Leon Edwards and Kamaru Usman. And the first matchup, neither one of them were really big in the UFC. They were mostly just on the come up. And Usman got the win in that one. Then part two, Usman really dominated the entire match until the fifth round when he was knocked out with a kick to the head by Leon Edwards in a beautiful knockout. So he won round two, or part two. And so going into part three, he really needed to prove himself because in the last matchup, even though he won, if it went to the judges, he would not have won. It wouldn't have even been close because Usman was kicking his ass. Well, this time around, Edwards came to fight. He dominated this fight. It was close, but if you watch it, Edwards wins. I think he won all but one round. And, you know, he was great defending against Usman, trying to take him down. He really wasn't able to take him down at all. Edwards delivered much heavier strikes and much deadlier blows. And it really just wasn't that, like, the scorecards say it was close, and it technically was that close. But overall, Leon Edwards dominated this fight. It was a perfect and beautiful fight by Leon Edwards. It went all the way, all five rounds, and it was a majority decision. Two cards scored in favor of Edwards, and then one was a draw. So he did get the majority decision. But good for him. He needed a fight like that to just shut everybody up and say, hey, I really am the champ. If you're doubting me now, well, that's your fucking problem. But yeah, Usman got dominated in this one, and he lost. So we'll see what the future holds for both of these guys. Obviously, Leon Edwards is the title holder, so he's going to be the top of the food chain for right now. Usman, though, we'll see what happens with him. Obviously, they're both going to go their separate ways at this current point in time. But they definitely put on a nice trilogy there. And good for Edwards to actually get a dominating performance. Now, it's really not that shocking because he is from England. and the fight was in England. So it was probably nice for him to have that home crowd behind him. And cheering him on, but yeah, it was it was a really good fight from both fighters, but good for Leon Edwards to show everybody that, hey, I deserve to be here, I deserve to be called the champ, and Usman was not able to get his belt back. Now let's move on to the NBA and the top 10 NBA power rankings. We are actually getting closer and closer to the playoffs, so we only have a few more power rankings left. For the NBA, at least, not much has changed here. Just a couple of teams moving up and down for the most part. So let's start it off with, we do have a new number one this week. That is the Philadelphia 76ers, overall record of 48-22. The main reason, though, why they've bumped up to number one is because they're currently on an 8-game winning streak, 9-1 in their last 10 games. The 8-game winning streak is currently the longest winning streak in the league at this current point in time. This past week, they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Indiana Pacers. And really, this team is just rolling. It's just all about Joel Embiid, as it has been all season long. And it's really just going to be what happens come playoff time with this team. But they're looking rock solid heading into the playoffs. They're actually looking pretty healthy heading into the playoffs, too, which says a lot, because nobody is really healthy right now, 100%. But the 76ers probably look like the healthiest team at this current point in time. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Milwaukee Bucks, overall record of 51-20. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Sacramento Kings, the Phoenix Suns, and the Toronto Raptors, and lost to the Indiana Pacers. They also clinched a playoff spot, so they are playoff bound, and we'll just see what happens with them. You know, Giannis, he just had a spectacular game the other night, and It's looking like this Bucks team is just poised and ready for another championship run. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Boston Celtics, overall record of 49-23. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Houston Rockets and the Utah Jazz, and they won against the Timberwolves and the Portland Trail Blazers. They also clinched a playoff spot this week, so they are headed to the postseason. Although I will say, the Celtics while they're still playing good basketball, they've been slumping and streaky a lot lately. So we'll see what happens with this team if they're able to put something together come playoff time. But you definitely don't want to be slumping at this point in the season, and the Celtics seem to be. Now, yes, they clinched a playoff spot, but I think that's mostly because of the beginning of the season and how well they played then to kind of just pad the wins. But right now, they're kind of circling the drain, but they did clinch a playoff spot, and that's really all that matters at this point in the season. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings have the Sacramento Kings. Overall record of 43-27. They are currently on a three-game winning streak, and they are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Milwaukee Bucks, but then they got wins against the Chicago Bulls, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Washington Wizards. They're really just, like I continue to say, scoring everybody out of the building. Still averaging 121 points per game, which leads the league. They're second in field goal percentage right now, averaging 50% field goal percentage right now. So they're knocking down the shots. It's just defensively is going to be their issue. But hey, man, the Western Conference is so up in the air. You really can't count the Kings out at this current point in time. And they really do look like, right now, the best team in the West. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 48-24. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Toronto Raptors and the New York Knicks, and they won against the Detroit Pistons and the Brooklyn Nets. You know, they're also a team kind of similar to the Celtics, where they're up and down. They go through these slumps, then they go on these winning streaks. Jokic, he's been having a phenomenal year, but outside of him, who else is there? And that's really why none of us believe that the Nuggets are an actually championship contender, even though they're the top team out West. But hey, maybe they'll surprise us. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the New York Knicks. Overall record of 42-30. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games, and they're currently on a three-game winning streak. This past week, they beat the Portland Trail Blazers and the Denver Nuggets. Right now, they're actually second in the league, averaging 47 rebounds per game, which is just crazy. And also something I forgot to mention about the Nuggets. They've also clinched a playoff spot, but not only did they just clinch a playoff spot, but they won their division as well. So the Nuggets are for sure headed to the playoffs. There are three teams that have clinched a playoff spot. As I said, that was the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Nuggets so far. Back to the Knicks. As I said, they're second in the league right now, averaging 47 rebounds per game. They're really just playing solid, solid basketball. I have a feeling they're probably going to fuck up somebody's day during the playoffs. Can't say I believe they're a championship contender, but don't be surprised if you see them fuck up somebody's day in the playoffs. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Cleveland Cavaliers, overall record of 45-28. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Charlotte Hornets and the Washington Wizards and lost to the Philadelphia 76ers. Really just the Cavaliers, one of the most consistent teams in the league. Donovan Mitchell, very consistent as well. They're just playing really well against really good teams. And we'll see if they're able to make some noise come playoff time as well. Then at number eight on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Memphis Grizzlies. Overall record of 43-27. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Mavericks, the Spurs, and the Golden State Warriors and lost to the Miami Heat. They actually, now that the Ja Morant drama is starting to die down, it kind of feels like they're starting to play some basketball. They're definitely going to make the playoffs because they're still one of the best teams out West. But they're definitely going to need Ja come playoff time. And we'll see what happens with this team, but they're definitely starting to step it up. They're starting to get healthy again, and they're actually playing pretty well right now after the last month of debauchery with this team. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Phoenix Suns. Overall record of 38-33. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Golden State Warriors, the Milwaukee Bucks, Oklahoma City Thunder, and they beat the Orlando Magic. So not a very good week for the Suns. They definitely could use Kevin Durant, but it doesn't look like he's going to be back for a minute. So we'll see what happens with this team. They should make the playoffs too, but they're definitely going to need Kevin Durant here pretty soon, because they're not as strong as they've been these past couple of seasons, and that's the whole reason why they traded for Durant. But you know, he's injured, as he tends to get injured a lot. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, the Los Angeles Clippers. Overall record of 38-34. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trail Blazers and lost to the Orlando Magic. And this team, they're okay. I really was kind of reaching for the last couple of teams at the end of my top 10 power rankings this week. And I just decided to put the Clippers there because they look better than the rest of the teams out there. But they're really not that impressive. Paul George playing pretty well. I noticed I still haven't really heard the name Russell Westbrook since he went there. I know everybody thought he was going to get his revenge on the Lakers. Well, so far, doesn't look like it's a loss for the Lakers trading away good old airball Russell Westbrook. So that is the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. Now let's move on to my 2023 MLB season predictions. Today's episode, we're going to do the NL East and the AL East teams, as I did the NL West and the AL West in the previous episode. And then, of course, we're going to do the Central Divisions on Friday's episode. So let's start it off with the National League East and who I believe is going to win that division. Now, before I get to who I think is going to win this division, I think once again, because last year this division was nuts, three of the best teams, the Braves, the Mets, and the Phillies, all resided in this division. The Phillies actually ended up going to the World Series. So this division's really damn good, and I expect it to continue to be really damn good because all three of those teams got even better this offseason. So let's start it off with who I think is going to win this division, the NL East. I've got the Atlanta Braves. And that's really just because if you ask me, my legit opinion on who I think is the overall best team in the league, just at positions, at just overall roster, can they score runs, defense, pitching, bullpen, closer, I think the Braves have it all. I think they are the best team overall, hands down. Now, I felt that last year too, but it is difficult to repeat. And I mean, it just happens. But they were a damn good team last year, and obviously a damn good team the year before since they won the World Series 2 years ago. But they did not lose a step this year. I feel like they're the best team overall. I would not be shocked if they win it all. But I definitely think they're going to win their division. You know, they still have, I mean, they've got stacked starting pitching with Fried and Strider. And then you got so many guys here who are going to be scoring so many runs for them with Acuna and Michael Harris and Riley and Albies. There really is not a weakness on this team. You go through the roster and I just feel like they are head and shoulders above everybody in this league. And yeah, I've got the Braves not only winning this division, but I think the Braves are a good shot at winning the championship this year. Then finishing in second place in the NL East, I have the New York Mets. They made a lot of moves this offseason. I think their biggest move this offseason, of course, was signing Justin Verlander. So their starting pitching, I believe, can go toe-to-toe with the Braves' rotation. And that's kind of what I think they were going for when they signed Verlander, because now you've got Verlander and Scherzer once again on the same team, because, you know, they both started out with the Detroit Tigers, and they both had phenomenal seasons or careers with the Detroit Tigers. And then they, of course, ended up getting traded because the Tigers franchise just started to dwindle, not really competitive anymore. So they decided to see what they could get. Then, of course, you know, Scherzer goes on to have a fantastic career, win a couple more Cy Youngs, and win a World Series with the Washington Nationals, of all teams. Then you've got Verlander, who would eventually get traded to the Houston Astros. He would go on to win two World Series with the Houston Astros. And, so both of these guys, and he would also go on to win some Cy Youngs as well. So both of these guys are easily two of the top pitchers in the league. And while they keep getting older, they still are damn fucking good. I mean, Verlander had a Cy Young season last year. So the Mets, they really stacked up on the pitching. So I really like their starting pitching. And, you know, you still got Alonso. You still have Lindor. You still have Marte. So this team is just stacked. Really, their only problem is going to be is the injury of Edwin Diaz, their closer, going to affect them? Because unfortunately, you know, right now the World Baseball Classic is going on. I haven't discussed it because I don't really give a shit about those kind of things. I can't stand the Olympics and I never really care about these world fucking tournaments. Couldn't care less. So I haven't really been paying attention to it other than whatever injuries have been happening. And unfortunately, Diaz is playing in the World Baseball Classic. He won a game for his team the other night, and while he was celebrating, he injured his knee, and he is out for the entire season. So is that going to be a problem for the Mets? Because he has been a huge part of this team, but at the same time, I feel like it's good that the injury happened before this season so they could kind of work out the kinks and kind of figure out what they want to do at the closer position. But I feel like as far as weaknesses go, that's probably the biggest weakness for the Mets. But other than that, man, I think the Mets are a stacked team, and I feel like this is going to be a crazy division, and it's going to be a battle between those two teams and the team that I've got finishing in third place. That is the Philadelphia Phillies. You know, they added Trey Turner. While I said I'm not watching the World Baseball Classic, dude's been lighting it up. So I have a feeling Turner's going to come right into this baseball season and be lights out. And the Phillies, you know, last year, they were one of the best offensive teams. You know, they got Kyle Schwarber coming off of one of the best seasons of his career. Turner's just going to add to it. He also adds good defense as well. Now, the problem for the Phillies is going to be Bryce Harper. He is starting the season off injured. I'm not sure how long he's supposed to miss. I know he's supposed to miss at least the first month of the season. So we'll see where he's going to be at. But that's a big blow to them. But also at the same time, he was injured last year. And then once he came back, they really got on a tear. And that's how they ended up in the World Series. So who knows? Maybe once Harper gets back, he'll be a big force for them. But I just kind of feel like the Phillies starting pitching doesn't stack up well against the Mets or the Braves. And also, I don't think they have the firepower to keep up with them. I feel like the Phillies' biggest weakness is going to be their bullpen. There's a lot of questions about that bullpen. But overall, I think the Phillies are going to be a good team. And don't be surprised if you see all three of those teams in the postseason. Then finishing in fourth place in the NL East, I have the Miami Marlins. You know, they're just that team. They did trade for Luis Arias in the offseason. He led the league last year in batting average. So he's definitely going to help them out. You know, they've got Jazz Chisholm. They've got Sandy Alcantara, who just had a phenomenal Cy Young season last year. So they've got a lot of talent, but they're the Marlins, man. And until they actually are able to put something decent out onto the field, I can't believe in them. Plus, they're in one of the toughest divisions in the league. So what sucks for them is they got the Braves, they got the Mets, and they've got the Phillies all above them. But lucky for them, they have the Nationals in this division, who I believe is going to be obviously finishing this division in last place. This team is horrible. There really is like nobody good on their roster. They're going to be one of the worst teams this season. As I said, I believe the A's are going to be the absolute worst team this season, but I feel like the Nationals are going to be hovering in that exact same territory because they ain't got shit going on. All this team really has of note on their roster is Steven Strasburg, who has literally been injured his entire fucking career since he started. And even if he wasn't injured, that dude ain't carrying the Nationals to a lot of wins. So I expect the Nationals to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. Now let's turn over to the AL East and who I believe is going to win that division. I think it's going to be the New York Yankees. I think the Yankees are going to be one of the best teams in the league this year, and that's because they did exactly what I wanted them to do. My biggest gripe with the Yankees last year is they didn't do shit to really improve their starting pitching. Now they've done it. They added Carlos Rodon, one of the top pitching free agents this offseason. He's going to come in and really complete this starting pitching rotation. They've already got Cole. They already have Cortez coming off of that huge season last year. And then speaking of huge seasons, we've got Aaron Judge, who's coming off of a historic season last year. I don't expect him to hit for 60-plus home runs, but I expect him to have a good year. And I really kind of feel like the Yankees are going to be focused on World Series and World Series alone this year. They still have Stanton, even though he tends to get injured a lot. When he's not injured, the dude is money. He scores you a lot of runs. Then they re-signed Rizzo again this offseason, another guy who's got a lot of power behind the plate. So I really expect the Yankees to have a very, very solid season. I expect them to win. And in my opinion, they're also a World Series front runner. And I'd really say their only weakness is at the closer position. And that's really just because I don't really know what's going to happen. I believe their closer is Clay Holmes. So I'm not really sure what his capabilities are. It's a new closer for them this year. So we'll see what happens for the Yankees, but I kind of feel like that would be their only area that I look at and go, that's a weakness, but it very well may not be a weakness just because I don't know. It's just a lot of unknown with what's going on at the closer position for them. Then I believe the Blue Jays will finish in second place in the AL East. They just seem to be getting better and growing better as a team. They've got a lot of young players. You know, they've got Vlad Guerrero Jr., who's just been lighting up the league since he hit the majors. You've got their catcher who just turned it on last year, Alejandro Kirk. So we'll see what he's able to do this year. They also traded for Whit Merrifield midway through last season, so we'll see if he's able to make an impact this year. But I just kind of feel like the Blue Jays are going to put together a really solid season, and I feel like they're going to be very competitive with the Yankees in this division, but I still have the Yankees beating them out. The only major weakness I see for the Blue Jays is their bullpen. It's not very strong, and I kind of have a feeling that's going to be their Achilles heel and what holds them back in this division. Then I've got the Tampa Bay Rays finishing in third place in the AL East. They do have a lot of young talent, as always. You know, they've got Wander Franco. They've got Arozarena. Then, of course, they're starting pitching. They've got some really solid pitchers in Glass now. And then you had Shane McClanahan last year, who was one of the top pitchers in the league. He did get injured towards the end of the season, so that was real shitty to see how that went down. But they do have a lot of young talent. But the Rays are also one of those teams where, like, once they're out of it, they start trading off that young talent. So we'll see what happens with this team. I expect them to be pretty competitive. I expect them to kind of make some noise in this division, but not really be a World Series contender. I'd say their biggest weakness is going to be at the closer position because they're one of those teams that does the two closers, the kind of the closer by committee role. And, so far I don't think that's really worked out well for them. So I kind of feel like that's going to be an issue for them. But like I said, they've got a lot of young talent. I expect them to make some noise, but I don't really consider them to be a, World Series contender this season. Then finishing in fourth place in the AL East, I have the Boston Red Sox. I was really shocked when I went to look at the roster and just kind of look over what's going on with this team, and they're really just bad. Devers is the only guy on the roster I look at and go, that's like their only star. That's really their only guy who's going to give them some power. And beyond him, I mean, their starting pitching is old as fuck. They still have Chris Sale as one of their starting pitchers. Is that dude ever going to pitch? I feel like that dude has been injured since the day the Red Sox, I can't remember if they traded for him or if they signed him in free agency. Whenever the Red Sox picked up Chris Sale, that dude has been injured. And not just like sprained ankle here or there. No, the dude's been like, he gets those injuries where he's out for the entire season and he's still on their fucking roster. Don't know how you do that, but the Red Sox, I just kind of feel like, are going to be an awful ass team this year. And I was really surprised by that, because usually the Red Sox at least try to be competitive, and I don't even think they're going to be competitive against the Blue Jays or the Rays this season, let alone the Yankees, and you know they care about that. And then rounding out the American League East, I have the Baltimore Orioles, of course. This is another team, kind of like the Rays, where they do have a lot of young talent. They've got Adley Rutschman, who is definitely one of the up-and-coming catchers in the league. And he really turned it on when he hit the majors last year, so I expect him to have a pretty good year. And then, you know, they've got Santander and Mullins, but this team is just never able to put it together, and they really don't have any pitching either. I mean, no starting pitching, no bullpen, no closer. So I think it's just going to be another long year for the Baltimore Orioles, but that's nothing new for them, right? So that's how I feel like the NL East and the AL East are going to turn out this year. As I said on Friday's show, we will do the AL and NL Central teams. And then next Monday, I will make my postseason predictions and my World Series prediction as well. So enjoy the excellent week of sports, and we will talk more brackets on Friday's show. And remember, motherfuckers, hook 'em horns, bitches. Yeah.